Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Let's Make Laughs. I'm Mr. B. This is a special show on fathers today, and our special guest is John Francis from Father's Eve. And the two of us connected on LinkedIn, and I wanted everyone in our listening audience to hear John's story and to hear about Father's Eve. John, it's an honor to have you on our show today. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of Aerosmith, so I love that bumper music. That was nice. Love
I'm
it.
Glad. That's one of my favorite drum parts, and so we try to start off with a little skippy beat with every show. So,
yeah, right on.
It's good. Important. Hey, let's start by telling everybody about you, where you're from originally.
Sure.
And why is the topic of fatherhood so important?
Well, thank you. I'm John Francis. I live in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm a lucky kid, I guess. I'm the youngest of five kids in my family. My mom and dad were entrepreneurs. My dad started a business. He was a barber and actually franchised barber shops back in the day, way ahead of things. He was quite a pioneer. So I grew up with a family business, and my dad was a fabulous entrepreneur. And we learned how to work hard. We learned how to hustle. And, we learned how to deal with people and take care of people. And being a business owner was something I kind of always knew I'd do. So I'm married now. I have two daughters of my own, two teenage girls, so we're having a good time at home. I work from home for about the last, 15 years maybe. I've been an entrepreneur. I've had my own businesses, primarily in franchising. I've been a franchisee and a franchisor, and I've owned some real estate, commercial properties, and things of that nature. But to me, being a father is, the most important thing I'll ever do. I was lucky to have a good dad. My dad was good. I think I was lucky to be the youngest child in my family. I mentioned before, because by the time I was growing up, he had learned some things that I would say mistakes he made with the older kids that he wanted to change his approach with me. And of course, I didn't know any better, but as I grew older and understood the difference is, he had made some conscious decisions in his work and his life, and the amount of time and energy that I got from him was a lot more than some of my siblings. And, I recognize that now, of course, as an adult, like, wow, I really was lucky in a lot of ways. And so my dad had passed away when I was 26, and he was only 60. He had cancer, and he had fought cancer for a long time, and so he died, and that was a big deal for our family, of course. And then, unfortunately, 3 years later, my older brother died. I had the oldest kid in the family was my brother, 10 years older. He died in a car accident, which was completely unexpected. And so the point is, it really kind of upset the apple cart, I guess, and a lot of things changed in our family and our business. We wound up selling the business, and, all kinds of things happened. And anyway, I went through a lot of trauma, honestly, from that. It was a pretty painful experience, those things, losing my dad, losing my brother, and then selling our family business, where I had been working real hard for a long time. So anyway, I got some help and got through it, and finally moved on, and had a fabulous girlfriend. We'd been dating for years because I was kind of stuck, I guess. And once we got married and I got through that challenging time, and we decided to get married, and we started trying to have kids, and it turned out it wasn't as easy as we thought it might be. And so when we raised our family, I say we did it the hard way. We went through the fertility clinic and all the techniques and everything we could try, and we wound up doing the in vitro, which is a fantastic medical technology, but it's challenging. It's expensive. It was a pain in her ass. I mean, literally, with the shots and the hormones and everything, it was not easy. And and we felt lucky we could do it. We were blessed, and long story short, we did 5 cycles of in vitro, and we had 2 beautiful children. One was born in 2003, and then the other was born in 2007. So we had some time between them, but we got lucky. We didn't have to make any tough choices. In vitro can be a real emotional roller coaster. And anyway, so at the end of the day, I'm married. I've got 2 wonderful kids. I'm a lucky kid, a lucky guy. I work for myself. Everything kind of turned out in the long run. And to me, being a dad is, like I said, the most important thing I'll ever do. And because of the experience I had with my own father, I learned, I guess, from that. And I decided that from the very beginning, I wanted to be a very involved dad. And I had the ability and the freedom to do that. So I guess, managed myself so that I was able to work from home and have the kind of business that gave me the flexibility to be a fully engaged dad. And then at the same time, Rick, my dad wasn't here and my brother wasn't here. They weren't here. They were gone. And so by the time I finally got married, finally had the kids, and I'm trying to figure it out how to be a better dad, the 2 guys I would have relied on, of course, weren't available to me. So I leaned on my friends who had kids. I leaned on my in-laws. I got a great in-laws on my wife's side, I've got 3 sisters, and one of them got married, had some great in-laws, brothers-in-law there who are, these guys are helpful and solid individuals. And so, I got a lot of help from, I'm a believer in, we can all learn from each other. And so I got a lot of help from these fellas and, just trying to be the best dad I could. And, that's kind of how I got to where I'm at, I guess. And I'll just keep going. I guess the story about Father's Eve kind of started as an accident, to be honest. Father's Eve, of course, it's the night before Father's Day. It's a Saturday night. So my wife and I had moved with our kids when that recession came through, 2010, 2009 and 10 and all that. We were looking for a nice house. And so we found this nice house, a big old house in St. Paul. And the house was been remodeled, but the garage was terrible. It had a terrible garage. And it's Minnesota, right? So garages are important here for winter. And, it gets hot in the summer and cold in the winter. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to tear down the garage and had a new garage built, a really nice garage. I must say it was, was nice and big and beautiful and kind of I got what I wanted. And so the construction was finished. I talked to my wife. I said, I want to throw a party and I want to show off this garage to my buddies. I want my buddies to know where we moved. We only moved a few miles away. We didn't move real far, but so I said, well, okay, let's throw a party in the garage. She said, fine, go ahead and let's pick a date. So we're flipping calendars. Back when you flip calendars, right, like a week at a glance, and I'm flipping the calendar. We're looking for an open Friday, Saturday night. The only one we found that summer, because it was a busy summer, the kids were little, and was the Saturday night and in June. And I'm like, well, this Saturday works. Is this one for you? Good. And we're planning ahead. And she said, yeah. And I turned the calendar over, and the next day was Father's Day. And I said, well, geez, I kind of was like, well, I don't really want to do it on that night because the next day is Father's Day. I mean, nobody wants to go out that night, but it really was the only night available because we had a full calendar. So I said, well, if it's going to be that Saturday, we're going to call it Father's Eve. So it was kind of a joke, right? I put it out to my buddies and invited a bunch of friends over. We had a bunch of beer. I say we had 3 kegs of beer and 2 bags of chips, right? There was nothing to it. I mean, just real simple, bunch of guys hanging out. And really it was me saying thank you to all my buddies who had helped me with the kids and just kind of helped me as friends. And, I'm a lucky guy. I've got friends that we go hunting and fishing and snowmobiling and, different groups from high school, a group from college, group from work and different people I know, and I've been blessed with a lot of friends. And So this was it was easy, I guess, to kind of throw this party, show off the garage, and we were hanging out. We had a great time. It turned out, because there were no women and no children there, that we really, you know, really had fun. I mean, guys could just relax and take it easy, and it was kind of like, do whatever you want, you know, there was nothing to it. So so we had a great time, and the guys, you know, after that, they're like, well, gosh, let's do it again. Let's do that, Father's Eve, call it Father's Eve. Okay, so then we did it again, and it about doubled, right? More guys came because they had heard of how much fun it was, and we added some food, and we added some games, and, you know, we expanded the thing a little bit the second year. And I'll tell you, Rick, the third year, the Father's Eve thing, now it was really on purpose. Now we had a pattern, right? The third time was a pattern. And it was out of control. There were guys there that I didn't know, right? Like, hey, this is great. My friends are bringing their friends. So,
yeah,
you know, we wound up having a car show down the street and all kinds of stuff going on. And it was like, wow. So somebody challenged me that year and saying, you know, what are you going to do with this Father's Eve thing? What are you going to do? Like, they're like, you know, it's up to me. I'm like, well, what do you mean? What do I have to do with this? What's wrong with this? You know? And they said, well, you could do something with this, like pointing at my chest, like you can do more. You could do some good with this. And I'm like, wow, okay, whatever, you know, challenged. So my day job is in franchising. My professional work is franchising. So everything to me is like a franchise. So I go to my lawyer, my business lawyer, and I say, you know, what do I do with this thing? I can't franchise. You can't franchise one night a year, fundraiser, you know, a party in a garage. It's not really a business. You know, you can't, there's no economic model there. So he said, well, he said, first let's trademark it, because it's a catchy phrase, Father's Eve. And he said, you could just license it. And as long as you're careful and you basically give it away and be careful how you structure things, you know, so it's not a franchise, it's a license trademark. And you let the other guys do it all over the country. And if it ever gets big enough, you know, you could have a business. And I said, well, okay. So we trademarked it. We created a license, simple one page deal. And, I started working on it. You know, I started telling my buddies around the country, people I had worked with in franchising. And I actually went to a dad conference, if you can believe it. There is such a thing. It's
really?
It's called Dad 2.0. It's a meeting, a group. It's a conference. It's like a three-day show for dad and fatherhood influencers. And I really didn't know what that meant. This was in 2016. I went to this conference. Someone told me about it. They said, well, why don't you check this out? So I went. I'm used to going to franchise conferences where I know about half of the people, right, because I've been doing that since I was a kid. So I show up at this conference, and I printed up some business cards. And I'm, you know, it didn't take me long to make some friends. You know, I'm kind of a big, tall guy, so I stand at the bar and I find the other big, tall guy in the room. I buy him a beer, you know, get that out of the way, right? Like, hey, where are you from, you know? And we start chatting, and he's from Chicago, and he's a regular guy. And we start talking. I said, man, I don't know, you know, anybody here. I don't know anything about this show. I said, but look, I got this thing called Father's Eve. And he says, well, tell me about it, you know, and I'm telling him, and he's telling me about his program, and he's got a dad group in Chicago, and I said, well, look, you could do Father's Eve in Chicago. You know, he's like, oh, really? And I said, yeah, and I'm not charging anything. It's just kind of like this. It's simple. It's free. It's, you know, it's a pretty straightforward deal. And he said, that sounds like a fun deal. And so we started talking. He starts introducing me to his group and his network and people he knows. And I tell you, it took me a couple of days, but by the end of the conference, I knew a bunch of folks there and had made, you know, some friends and understood kind of more about the fatherhood community, I guess, these guys who are, you know, trying to do their part to help dads and fatherhood and kind of the new version of fatherhood, if you will. And anyway, I kept showing up and talking to these guys and In 2016, we did it in 12 cities, Father's Eve. I couldn't believe
Amazing.
It. You know,
Amazing.
It was like we're off to the races. And we had made our event here in St. Paul. We had moved it up to a bar because we had outgrown my garage. So we made it a fundraiser for charity. And we raised $10,000 for charity. And Rick, this is a bunch of guys, right, who really, I'm not an event guy. I'm not a charity guy. I'm not a fundraiser. You know, I didn't know what we were doing. We weren't like, well, now we did have some help. I got some of my buddies to help. I'm like, look, if we're going to do this, you know, you guys got to help me. So I had a few buddies help. So we did a fundraiser. We had some fun giving the money away. That was a lot of fun, really. We enjoyed that. We licensed it. It took off. Asking those guys, how'd you do? What'd you think? Hey, that was fun. Let's do it again. You know, kind of like my guys in my garage. That was fun. Let's do it again. So every year it was catching on, and it just about doubled. 2017, there were, I want to say 25. Can't remember how many exactly, 24, 25, 2018, we got into 40, I think it was 43 cities and two countries. We had one in Costa Rica. Guy found me online, right? We had one in Canada. 2018, maybe that was 2018, I can't remember now. 2019, we were in 60 cities around the country. And
Amazing.
about 12 of them were doing fundraisers. Because I can't require that they do it as a charity fundraiser. We're not a charity. We're not. I don't want to be set up like that. We're an event that raises money for other charities, for real charities. You know, we're not. I don't. The world is not telling me to create another charity or foundation. There's enough people doing the real work. We'll raise money and give it to them. So now this year, 2020, because of the COVID thing, we couldn't do the in-person events. So, of course, we went online just like everything else. And we kind of struggled with that. It wasn't easy because, I mean, I don't know how to do that, you know. Now I got to figure this out. So we figured it out. We got some help. We had some really talented people who know that sort of thing, and they got us. They helped us. They gave us a swinging deal on the support we needed, and we ran an online virtual event, and I turned my garage into Times Square. I said, we're going to do it like when I was a kid, you know, Dick Clark used to do the countdown
right.
for New Year's Eve mm-hmm. in his garage. Well, on Father's Eve, we do a countdown toast, but we don't wait till midnight because that's too late, right? I mean, I'm not staying up till midnight. So we do the countdown toast on Father's Eve at 8 o'clock local time.
Okay.
So we did the countdown toast in my garage and we did it live stream, and we reached just over 7,000 guys on our, or people, I guess we don't really know exactly who it was, but we had 7,000 people watching our live stream on Facebook and on our website and wherever else. You know, the tech guys took care of that. But we got some pretty good reach. We got some sponsors. We have some partners. We work with other fatherhood groups that are now friends because we've been doing this for a few years now. And so I started this thing as an accident to have a reason to show off a new garage and to say thank you to all my buddies. And it turned into this thing that, you know, I'm not afraid of an opportunity, right, to push it along and help it make it happen. And we're really having some fun with it. And I think we're just getting started. You know, it's really been a lot of fun. And I mean, I could go on and on and on, but I should stop and let you ask me some questions. You know,
well, first of all,
just a comment
that wouldn't your dad be proud of that and proud of you.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
You know, that you've done something that's
Thank
so
you.
Unique, and you probably have never lost your thought and love for him during this entire thing. So what a beautiful tribute without
yeah.
even saying.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that a lot. I miss my dad a lot, and there's certainly times when things are going on and, you know, I miss him more. from time to time than just all the time. But yeah, I think he and my brother was a crazy dad. He had five kids. It was just nuts. And he was a lot of fun. And really, he's kind of the inspiration. Some of the guys who helped me start this project were friends of his, who were friends of mine, because we used to go snowmobiling and fishing and hunting together, right? I mean, our friends overlapped, because why wouldn't you? You know, we're all doing the same thing anyway. So, yeah, I think my dad and my brother would be quite pleased. I know my brother would have been involved. He'd probably be running this thing. You know, he'd have taken it and run with it. He's that kind of guy. And we would be doing this together. I think, in a sense, we are. You know, they're helping me, I'm sure.
I feel
blessed and grateful, really, to be able to do something like this. I mean, it's a crazy idea, but you know what? The further I go and the more I understand about fatherhood and I would say modern fatherhood, what dads are dealing with these days, because I'm dealing with it too, but I think it comes down to, you know, dads today recognize that they need to be more intentional about being a really a good father. I think, at least for me, you know, a lot of guys, you get, hopefully you grow up, you get married, you start a family, and all of a sudden you're a dad, and bam, you know, it just kind of happens. Of course, it's natural, and there's no manual, there's no classroom, you know, you might take some courses or whatever and you know, have some advice, but what I've learned with Father's Eve is a lot of guys don't stay connected to their friends, to their buddies. They get busy with work primarily. You know, they get focused on other things, and they just don't stay connected or in touch with their old friends. And those are the people who know them best, right? Those are the guys you really need to stay connected to. So Father's Eve, it does a number of things. Number one, it gives guys a chance to get together in real life, in person. I say bring your buddies to Father's Eve, or come make some new buddies at Father's Eve, because it's all guys, and there's no agenda. We're not selling anything. We're not preaching to anyone. We're not solving anybody's problems. You know, we're not there to do anything but be together. I say we connect, we share, and we celebrate fatherhood. So it's real simple. It's real fun. It's about just kind of being together. And what happens is, these guys show up and they don't know Father's Eve. What's that? You know, nobody really knows what to do. And the good news is there isn't anything to do. You just have to be there. And sometimes guys will tell stories. You know, we'll get guys talking about, like, look, tell me a story about your dad, or tell me a story about you being a dad. You know, a good example was, you know, tell me about, how did you teach your kid how to ride a bike? Or how did you teach your kid how to drive, or other milestones, you know, where dad usually shows up, you know, how did you help your kid move to college, you know, whatever it might be, whatever phase of life. And the dads will start telling stories about what worked or what didn't work. Right. And the other guys listening, they're not really asking for help, because of course guys don't want to ask for help, but they'll listen and learn from each other. When you get guys kind of telling their stories, you know, what was your best memory of your dad? Oh God, I could go on and on and on. You know, what do you learn from your dad that now you're practicing as a dad yourself? You know, and guys, you get guys talking about fatherhood, and they'll share stories. And so they're helping each other kind of without even trying to help each other. It just happens. And that what happens is these guys recognize that, you know what, being a father really is an important function. And if they just try a little bit harder to be a little bit better, right? For me, I learned how to be more patient with my kids, especially when they were little. And now as teenagers, right? Patience is a challenge sometimes. And you learn how to communicate. You learn how to listen. You learn maybe what not to do sometimes. So we learn from each other every year. So we come back and we get together, and guys, there's some friends that have developed some real true friendships. Guys come back, hey, I remember you from last year. How you doing? How you been? You know, so Father's Eve becomes that connection. I call it the common denominator. All these dads and all these different groups, and we work with, you know, all kinds of charities and and organizations, and there's quite a bit of activity out there in the fatherhood movement, if you will. And all I'm trying to do is get this thing to go and, you know, make it big and have it fun, you know. And ideally, we would get sponsors, maybe they want to be part of it, to say, hey, you want to be the official, you know, whatever of Father's Eve. And we can monetize it through those sponsors and their support. And what they can do is help us have bigger events, more fun events, maybe buy the food and the beer or whatever. Maybe we could have some kind of charity fundraising promotion. That would be a good thing. Excuse me. This year, we started a relationship with Children's Miracle Network, which is a hospital, national group, 170 hospitals all over the country. And they're quite an organization, and we're learning how to work with them. And we think our relationship with Children's Miracle Network could really be a breakthrough for us, because they're a big charity that can do some good, and they really want to reach the dads. And the whole common connection is we want to support the children.
Yep.
And so it fits us in a sense. And so we're learning how to do that and seeing some opportunities there. And, you know, every year we get a little smarter. We work a little earlier. You know, this is what I call a hyper seasonal business, right? It's one night a year. And we work at different times. Like this time of the year, you know, there's not a whole lot going on. I'm doing my networking. That's how I got to you on LinkedIn. Right, I'm doing my outreach for sponsors, and we're trying to facilitate those relationships and really see how we can help them and they can help us, and really we can all help each other. The whole idea is that this thing just kind of takes off like a regular holiday. Right, I invented a holiday by accident. And we think we can have some fun. We think we can do some good. And really, that's really all I'm trying to do.
And I think it's brilliant, and it's simple, and it's profound. And what I think we should do for you, with you, John, is have you on every 2 to 3 months to remind people of, I guess, to talk about their dad.
Yeah.
And what their dad meant to them.
Yeah.
Because what you're doing is you're bringing attention to the importance of fatherhood without hitting people on the head with a 2x4.
Yeah, you know, nobody likes to have their faces rubbed into it. And look, as I've said, I've been reading and learning, and I talk to a lot of people about, you know, everything, I guess. And you know, there's some real challenges in our society and our culture today around fatherhood, and you know, and you know, we're not here to try to solve all those problems, but we're here to do what we can to raise up the dads and create the environment where dads are appreciated and recognized. And we don't want to take anything away from Father's Day. I love Father's Day. Father's Day is for dads and family. Well, I want to be with my kids and my wife, and we go visit the cemetery sometimes. You know, I want to recognize my dad and being a father. So we say Father's Day is for dads and families. Father's Eve is just for the dads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important, we think that fits us well. We loved it so much, we wanted to expand it. But most guys got to work on Monday, so we had to back into Saturday. We called it Father's Eve.
That's great. How can our listeners learn more about it and perhaps host their own party and contribute to the greater cause?
Well, thank you, Rick. Of course, we have fathers-eve.com. Our website, and there's no apostrophe, I should say that. It's just fathers-eve.com. We're on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, YouTube, I don't know. We're out there. It's not hard to find. You put in the Google search Father's Eve. I'm in Minnesota. I'm not hard to find. John Francis is my name. I love talking about Father's Eve. There's a lot of information on the website. There are links and a lot of pictures and videos, and you can see what we did last year. You can see what we did the last couple of years. We've listed all the events. I mean, we got a lot of guys doing this, and you know, it's like I said, it's starting to catch on, and we think we're a little few more years, so we'll hit a tipping point where this thing just takes off. And now, you know, we're getting a little smarter with our relationships on a national level, and we think there's maybe this year would be one of those big steps forward. So we'd love to have people that are interested in getting involved with us and participating. You know, Father's Eve is free. It's fun. Usually guys start with doing something in their backyard or their garage, or kind of like I did, you know, real simple, just invite your friends and family. We call that a private event. Mm-hmm. We don't promote the address. You know, you can keep it. We'll put your pin on the map. We'll count you as an event, but we won't promote the address. You can promote it to your buddies. We won't send people that you don't want or know. You know, we understand that.
Yep.
Then usually they grow up and it snowballs, and they usually move it to a bar or a restaurant or some other facility. We've had guys do this in all kinds of places. It's been kind of fun. And I should mention this, Rick. There's five quick rules for Father's Eve, just to make it simple for you. Rule number one is keep it clean, right? We want this to be family friendly, even though it's just for dads, but we call it a PG-rated kind of activity. We don't call it a party. We call it an event because it's about getting together. Number two is focus on the dads, which means all the dads, stepdads, granddads, any kind of dad, all the dads. It's about dads. Number three is have something to do. Guys hanging around, having a beverage is fine, but, you know, it's better if there's a game or an activity. We do a bags tournament with the cornhole bags. Guys mm-hmm. have done poker tournaments, golf tournaments. It's just something to do. Keep it simple. Have some kind of activity. Number four is work together, because we're trying to build a movement. We want guys to work together. We'll put it on the website. We'll put it on the social media. We'll promote it. We'll be online next year and in person. We'll have both real events and a virtual event. I think we'll do both next year. And then rule number five is don't screw this up. There's a lot of guys, and we're all volunteers. No one's paying any money to do this. We're all trying to do it for fun and free. So please don't mess it up, because if somebody does something stupid, it could wreck it for the rest of us.
Yeah.
So real simple, straightforward kind of program. But we have all the info online. There's a license agreement. You can sign up. And then I actually talk to every one of the hosts. We call them event hosts. So I talk to them and validate that license. And I'll tell you, there's actually been, I can think of two times where I've told a guy, no, this is not going to work. You can't do it, because they had some bad ideas, and you know, it's my job to protect the brand. So, but it's pretty straightforward. It's, you know, it's not complicated. We like it that way. Right.
Of course. That's the reason it's successful and will even be more successful, because it's simple, it's pure, but it's profound at the same time. Hey, John, thank you so much for joining us. We want to have you back on again to help promote this and move this forward. We'll post this show on Success Made to Last right next to our feature on fatherhood. Okay.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'd be happy to come back, Rick. I really appreciate the opportunity. Let me share my story and share it with everyone, man. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You are most welcome. And so to go to John's site again, it's fathersEve.com, and make sure and follow those five rules. That's important. Thanks again, John. We appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye. That was John Francis. We appreciate him being on. This show is about fatherhood, and this is about Father's Eve, an event that takes place every year, the eve of Father's Day. What a great idea. It's so simple. Go to fathersEve.com today to find out more if you want to organize your own event, and go through John Francis. Make sure and follow those important, simple rules that make this thing successful. I'm Rick Tocchini. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you have a great week. And as we always say, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week.